We are now recording, Mr. Chair. John.
Okay. I will call this 60th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council to order, and I think I'll do a roll call rather than going around the room. I'm John Weingart. Tracy?
Tracy Carluccio, public representative from Hunterdon County.
Tim?
Tim, I'm a public representative.
Janice?
Janice Kovac, town of Clinton, Hunterdon County.
Mimi?
Mimi Les, Precipity, Morris County.
Jack?
Jack Schreier.
Glenn?
Glenn Vitrano, Sussex County, Freeholder.
Scott?
Scott Whitenack, public member, Morristown.
Bill?
Bill Cochran, Mayor of Chester Township.
Okay, and I believe Kurt Alstadt, Liz Calabrese, Debbie Pasquarelli, Eric Peterson, and Tanisha Way are not with us at the moment. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, we do have a quorum, we have all the materials. We were sent by email. Meeting was advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and we've done everything we could to notify everyone of the changes, doing it by phone. I'm not going to conduct the Pledge of Allegiance by telephone. I don't know. Jack, do you want to do that from where you are?
I think we can try that.
Okay.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you. We have two sets of minutes to approve. A motion for the November 8th minutes.
I'll move those.
I'll second.
Jack Schreier moved. Bill Cogger seconded.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Glenn Vitrano abstained.
Yeah, Tim Dillingham abstains also.
I think I have to abstain.
You don't have to abstain. We've had this ruling that even if you miss the meeting, if you think the minutes represent a true rendition of what happened, you can still vote in the affirmative. So who is abstaining?
Glenn Vitrano abstained as not being present, and I have read them. If you needed to vote to pass them, well then, based on council's, okay, I would vote.
Okay.
Just curious, in the presence and absence, I don't think everybody's names are on the list from the minutes.
We can double check that and correct it if need be, Mimi.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, you only have 12 people on the list.
Oh, okay.
I'm here now, Mr. Chairman. It's Kirk.
Oh, hi, Kirk.
You can count me as a yes.
Okay, you missed the Pledge of Allegiance.
I apologize.
Who is abstaining on these minutes?
I was abstaining.
Excuse me?
Tim.
Okay. And everyone else is voting yes, and then they pass. And then we move next to the minutes of November 19th. The motion to approve those minutes.
And I'll second.
So move.
Moved by Jack Schreier and seconded by Bill Cogger.
Okay.
Sorry.
Comments or corrections? All right. Again, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Okay, those minutes pass. And did anyone else just join us? Eric? No. Okay. So we are 10 members. My report on the agenda in front of us, one item we're not going to discuss, which is item 10 on the agenda, the consideration of the resolution about Hunterdon Knolls, because I think we should do that in public, in a session where we could see each other and discuss it at greater length. So we'll defer that for the next our next meeting. The only other thing I wanted to mention is you may have seen in some newspapers that we received a letter from a professional planner at the Blaustein School, Stuart Meck, contending that we were practicing planning without the appropriate license, specifically the Charlie Siemens, by not.
not being a professional planner licensed in New Jersey, that we were somehow in violation of the relevant statute about professional planners. Tom researched that, and I sent a letter back to Mr. Meck the day before yesterday saying that we strongly disagreed and believe that we're doing everything appropriate in that regard. And the letter was to be in all our packets today, but I guess we'll, you know, those of you who aren't in Chester at the moment will get it by email or by mail. I don't know if anyone had any questions about that. If not, any other members have items to report at this time? No. Okay. Eileen, we have your report in writing. Anything you want to add?
No, just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that we've got all the 88 municipalities that should now have received their master plans. They have been sent out. We're working on the county ones and ones for the legislators. So that work is ongoing. We also have completed a CD with the RNP in colour as well as in black and white, all maps and figures, the technical report addenda, and the atlas. Other than that, the only other thing I wanted to bring to your attention of the council was on the night of November 19th, we were asked to clarify by members of the council, and the council agreed and directed staff to clarify the extension of any wastewater or wastewater collection treatment systems or community on-site treatment facilities within the preservation area, that was prohibited unless as provided by the Highlands Act. So I wanted to make sure that you knew we did do that, and if further clarification of the language is required, we do know what the intent was, and the intent was that would be prohibited unless provided for by the Act. Other than that, Mr. Chair, I think we can proceed with the agenda.
Okay. Then we'll take items 8 and 9, which go together, which is the committee report from the Natural Resources Committee. Tim?
Mr. Chair, I'm looking at the email. I don't know that the chair's report from the committee meeting was distributed. Was it, Eileen?
I thought it was.
Yes, it was distributed, and I sent it out to all of you today as well.
Okay.
It's number 18, I believe.
Number what?
Number 18.
Finally, it was our personal accounts, John, rather than our state accounts.
Sorry, say that again?
It went to our personal accounts rather than... It went to my, this is Scott, went to my personal account rather than my state account.
The committee report,
that helps anyone find it.
But it's also in it's the final attachment in the packet for this meeting that we got.
It's on the website and it's been distributed to the public.
Right.
Okay, as long as everybody has it, I just want to make sure, because I don't want to go back through and read the entire report. But the Natural Resource Committee held a meeting on the 6th of December, and at that time we considered two wastewater management plan amendments that had been submitted to us by the Department of Environmental Protection for recommendation. One was at the Heritage Village 55 project, which is a discussion we're going to have later on the agenda, a resolution. The second was the Huntington Knolls project. And finally, we also discussed the preliminary thinking of the staff as regards the calculation of impervious cover limitations regarding redevelopment, defining redevelopment proposals, and what areas would qualify. There was a fairly extensive discussion about those projects, as well as the policy ideas or the plan ideas that the staff is dealing with. I will say, Michelle, do you want to defer discussion on the specifics of those projects until the resolutions?
I would like to meld into that, so whenever, so we can go right into
it. Okay, just go right into it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think on the Heritage 55 project, this is a project that had been before us before. It had a number of inconsistencies with the draft RMP at the time, coming primarily to intrusions into buffer zones protecting Highlands Open Waters, water deficit, and the policies regarding the extension of public water infrastructure into the protection zone. I think it's important to know that the project is sort of on the cusp in the terms of the transition between when the act went into place. It had a series of approvals both at the local level and at the DEP level prior to the trigger dates of the Highlands Act itself. And there's been fairly extensive work done on the site. We had testimony both from Mr. Lovell, the town manager at Randolph, as well as Mr. Sweeney, representing the applicants, which I think provided some new information, perhaps most significant of which was that the project is part of a larger development effort, which included restoration and remediation of contaminated sites on the parcel or on parcels that were involved in the project, as well as clustering and open space preservation associated with the development itself. The other thing to note for the council is that the staff recommendations changed fairly significantly based upon the revisions between the initial draft RMP and the final draft RMP, and that was because of changes in the zones. And so the inconsistencies that we had noted the first time about conflicts with the policies were moved in several instances because of that, particularly the infrastructure extension policy. And then we had a conversation with the applicant and with the town, but finally with the applicant, about how to resolve some of the other conflicts. The impingement or infringement into the buffer zones turns out to be sort of on the outer edge of that area, and the applicant was willing to gate restrict the remainder of the area in between the regulatory requirements imposed by the DEP and the areas that would have been required to be dedicated under our regulations regarding the 300-foot buffers. I think he was also open, and Mr. Sweeney, if he's going to offer testimony on this, but there was some discussion about physically putting up some barriers just to remind the homeowners that these are areas that should not be altered. I think in the end that resulted in the majority of the area that would have been under the 300-foot buffer being protected, and the areas that were not inside of that area had already been altered fairly significantly under the work that had been done on the project site. There also was an outstanding conflict with the water deficit issues. And we left it with the staff that the staff was to have a discussion in between that meeting date and today to look into whether or not there were ways to address that deficit because of the fact that the water is actually coming from several watersheds over, and I think this is going to be a somewhat common occurrence with public water distributions systems in the region. So while I think Dr. Van Asden noted that there was a fairly progressive attempt to re-inject some of the stormwater on the site, or a lot of the stormwater on the site, into the ground to address the deficits in that watershed, it really was rested with the municipality, the MUA, to try to deal with the deficit in the other watersheds. And I know that, not to speak for her, but I know that Tracy expressed concerns about how adequate that was in terms of resolving that conflict. So I think in the end, Mr. Chairman, the committee recommended that we recommend approval to DEP with conditions reflecting the comments that just made about ensuring that the buffer zones are adequately protected and no further alteration on the areas that remain undisturbed is allowed. And that the water deficit issue be addressed. And I would ask Eileen if there's any update she wants to give from the staff on that part of it.
There was a meeting, and I'd ask Tom Borden to, he attended that meeting, to report out on that.
Yes, basically, we met with representatives of the developer in this project yesterday to discuss the buffer issue. We actually spent some time looking at the site plan prepared by the applicant and went over the delineation of the buffer.
Tom, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
We met with the applicant to address the buffer area specifically on the site plan approval. We came to an understanding the terms of the conservation easement. Actually, Mr. Sweeney provided us just this afternoon with a draft conservation easement. But the conceptual agreement we came to is that the applicant would present to the council a delineated boundary on a site plan of a buffer area with concrete monuments to delineate. This would go into the master deed of the condominium association. So we can recommend, based upon that, that the council, as the applicant has satisfied our concerns, the additional concern about a water deficit wouldn't be to the applicant, it would be to the municipality. That would be the recommendation.
So the resolution, the draft resolution in our packets concludes with a blank of that we.
Yes, that was on purpose. I can propose some language for you if you'd like, Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me?
I have some language to propose for you if that's the council. So starting with number one, the way the resolution left off is authorizing the executive director to send a letter to DEP recommending approval of this with conditions. The condition number one, that the applicant prepare, perfect, and file a conservation easement for that portion of the Highlands Open Water Protection Area not affected by existing construction grading so as to preserve the remaining lands from future disturbance. And two, that right up time requirements for water deficits as set forth in the regional master plan.
Okay. Chairman, do you want to move it with those amendments or with that language?
That's fine, yes. Mr. Chairman, I'll move the resolution.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Jack Schreier seconded.
Okay. Well, Tim, I don't know if you have anything else you want to say about it, or you would sort of start to introduce Tracy. Sorry, Tracy, if she had anything you want to say.
Yes, I am the dissenting vote on this. I think certainly it's come a long way from when we first looked at it, and there was Randolph Township was represented at our committee meeting as well, and was very interested in seeing this project move forward, this amendment move forward. But my concern is that is the water deficit area, and the source water, the HUC 14 for the source water is in deficit, as well as the HUC 14 where this project is actually located. And while I appreciate that we are putting language in there that states that the municipality will address the water deficit, we don't have any hard and fast plans for that. There's no specificity, no timeline, nothing is fleshed out. So I am concerned about us approving a project in a water deficit area, so I'm not going to be able to support the resolution.
Okay. Are there other comments on the resolution from council members?
Sure.
Are there
All
right, Scott, go ahead.
I'll speak to it also. I voted in the affirmative with Tim on that on the committee meeting, and I think it was important that there was an overall major site plan that was in place that this was part of, and that there was some remediations, like Tim had mentioned, on some polluted areas. So I think it was important to note that, and it was also important to note that there was already structures in the ground and improvements in place. So I think in weighting everything against each other, noting Tracy's objections, it was still, I think, in the best interest of everyone, especially with the town there and the developer both speaking in concert for this approval, I think the reasonable thing was to pass it.
I want to ask a question, if I may, not so much about this particular application, but going forward, I think we're going to have a lot of issues about water deficit areas and how we're going to require the developers or whatever to deal with them. And are we going to come up with some specific plans and ways people can deal with this, that are scientifically valid and achieve whatever we want to achieve as far as, improving the deficit situation?
Eileen Swan just saying that if the town conforms, we require a water management plan, which would get to that. For towns that don't conform, when we're looking at this for water quality management amendment plans, they have to bring a something to the council that the council would approve. But keeping in mind that it's if the plan is voluntary in the planning area.
Did someone just join us?
Yeah, John, it's Eric.
Hi, Eric. Eric, where we're up to is we're just discussing the resolution for Heritage 55, which has been introduced and seconded, and that's where we are. And I guess Tracy has spoken in opposition to it. Tim has introduced the resolution and spoken in support of it, and Scott has spoken in support of it. And Mimi asked a question, so that's where we are.
I'd just like to follow up and just say I think that we should be working on things that we can give a town to say these are the kinds of things that we think scientifically will work.
So, we are working on that, Mimi.
I just want to sort of echo Mimi's comments on that. As you remember, the discussion during the RNT adoption or the vote that released for comment, I raised concerns about the idea of how well we can do this and the idea that we need to proactively define what our approach is. And, I mean, this was a kind of put me in an interesting position, this specific consideration, the fact that it was already in the ground and was a project that had been very much underway and on the cusp and viewed in total, I think we did the right thing. At least the resolution does the right thing. But I think the questions are going to get tougher, and they're going to get tougher when there aren't any projects, when there aren't things in the ground already that come in and they're in both in the deficit watershed themselves as well as drawing your water from deficit watershed. So we're going to have a package of information and responses that we're going to be able to hold people to, I think.
Right, because towns are not going to have hydrologists and people like that on staff. Now, they'll tell the applicant they have to come up with a plan, but the town really, also because they don't have hydrologists, be able to evaluate the validity of whatever the applicants say. So, you know, we've got to be prepared to give a lot of guidance.
Well, let's go back to the resolution. Are there other comments from other council members on the resolution? Let me ask maybe Jack or I think if you could help, are there people in the room who from the public who would like to comment on this resolution?
We have Mr. Schultz going to comment. Schultz,
no, okay.
We would like here.
I'm still awaiting an explanation as to how an area that supposedly supplies water to 5.4 million New Jerseyans, can any part of it be considered a water deficit area? When you speak about a HUC 14 that is in water deficit, I want to know what that means. Does that mean that it's been drawn down over time? Does that mean that people's wells are running out of water? Or does it simply mean that the resource which the state has claimed for itself to be deposited as it sees fit to other parts of the state for the benefits of other parts of the state do not accrue to any value to the people who live where the water falls? I think the answer is simply that is exactly the case. If you were really concerned about a water deficit area in a HUC 14 area, you would build a reservoir and collect the surface water that is now allocated for other parts of the state. I think this whole discussion about pumping roof water back into an aquifer should apply to the entire state, not just this. This is a Alice in Wonderland type discussion, and I still don't see the point of it.
That I gather was David Shope. Are there other members of the public who would like to speak on this?
I see no more. Well, one more hand. Yes, sorry.
I'm Ned Ward from Harding Township, and and I have not read the latest regional master plan except for the fact that there was a editorial, I believe.
Excuse me, sir, we're just talking about this specific resolution on Heritage 55. Is that what you're about to speak to?
I don't believe so, just to the water deficit.
Okay, we'll have a public comment period more generally in a few minutes once we get through.
through the items on the agenda.
Anyone else on this resolution? Seeing no hands.
Okay, are there any members of the public on the phone?
Yes, there are.
Okay. Are there any members of the public on the phone who would like to speak about this resolution? Okay. Any other comments from council members on the resolution? All right, I'll do it as a... I'm sorry. Did somebody start to say something? No. Okay. I'll do it as a roll call. Kurt?
Yes.
Tracy?
No.
Bill?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Mimi?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, so it passes, and I'll vote for it. So it passes 10 to 1 with no abstentions. Thank you all. As I said, we're skipping item 10 and deferring that till our next meeting in January, and we turn to item 11, which is the resolution concerning a memorandum of understanding with the State Planning Commission and the Office of Smart Growth. Do you want to present that?
Yes, I would like to start by saying that we do have Ben Spinelli from the Office of Smart Growth and Corey Piasecki, a planner with the Office of Smart Growth, in the room with us. Just to give you the background on this MOU, as you know, we've been working on this MOU for some time, but this more current draft was worked on most particularly by Tom Borden on our staff and Tracy Gelbstein on Ben's staff. It was the matter of consideration October 4th by the State Agency Coordination Committee of our council. And so it was distributed to members in their packets for that meeting. The members considered it and they moved it to the council for your consideration with no changes. It was subsequently posted on our website on the 12th of October and was in the final meeting packet for all council members for the meeting of October 18th. And it was discussed at that meeting, and at that meeting I announced to the public that they could find the Memorandum of Understanding on the website. It was also on Office of Smart Growth's website. On October 24th, it was considered by the Plan Implementation Committee, which is a subcommittee of the State Planning Commission, and they moved it to the State Planning Commission with no changes. There were some amendments, however, made at that meeting. I should have said there were no changes to the Memorandum of Understanding as such, but some changes because of the new plan endorsement guidelines to grant some waivers to the Highlands Council for plan endorsement. And those were in your ED report for October 27th, and the added language was in the November 1st package. So it was then considered last week by the State Planning Commission. They approved it with no changes, but they did allow that because this council was going to be considering it subsequently, that any non-substantive changes that were requested by this council could be considered by the executive directors, and we could make those changes and bring it back to both the council and the State Planning Commission if both sides agreed that that was appropriate.
Okay.
Other than that, Mr. Shire.
I had a question. What would be the definition of a substantive change versus a non-substantive change?
Well, an example would be if there was some sort of clarification of language sought, if there was something that was required by law that we wanted to change the language in the memorandum to reflect something that was required by law, that would be considered non-substantive because it wouldn't require any policy discussion, because it would just be appropriately following the law. So anything of that nature.
But I think as the Highlands Council, we should feel free to make any changes we think are necessary, and it's whether or not it's a substantive change is something Ben and the State Planning Commission would have to determine.
That's correct.
Their process for making, incorporating those changes or deciding if they want to. Okay. Well, we have a resolution to enter into this memorandum of understanding. Is there someone who would move the resolution?
I'll move the resolution.
Is
That was Jack. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, that was Mimi, I think.
Janice.
Janice. Okay. Discussion. Comments, questions from council members.
We have with us today in the public portion, Mr. Chairman, Ben Spinelli, who's the executive director of the Office of Smart Growth. Perhaps Mr. Spinelli would like to comment.
Jack, I'll be happy to answer any questions the council members have, but Eileen did a good job of covering the process by which we went through the great memorandum. I'll just add this, that it's really meant to reflect not only the statutory mandates that govern both agencies, but to memorialize the cooperation that's going to take place between the Highlands Council and the State Planning Commission and the Office of Smart Growth. We respect the work that the Highlands Council has performed in putting a regional master plan together, the science that went into forming the basis for that plan. And we think that it's important for us to be clear that municipalities in the planning area have a choice between conformance with the state plan or conformance with the Highlands Regional Master Plan. However, that is not a methodology by which they can escape the scientific evidence that was developed by the Highlands Council during the formation of the Regional Master Plan. So while the exact details of what conformance will mean versus what plan endorsement will mean may differ in certain circumstances, the real core principles by which that planning will be based, that science that planning will be based upon, doesn't change. We're not going to use one set of data for state planning and one set of data for Highlands planning. So I think that's an important point for everyone to realize. We have a very good working relationship, obviously, between Eileen and I, based upon our experience here with this body.
Just one big happy family, then.
Jack, we try to be that way, that's my mission, is to try to make everybody get along. Some of the things I think that are noteworthy within this are not only the requirement that we share information, but the requirement that we participate in each other's processes. The Highlands Council will be present when any Highlands municipality seeks plan endorsement, if they should. And there have been Highlands municipalities that have come to explore the possibility of going through plan endorsement. The Highlands Council has been there. Eileen and Tom have attended each of those meetings. Someone from the Office of Smart Growth will attend plan conformance meetings for communities within the Highlands. The idea is to make sure that we remain on the same page, that we're able to bring not only the perspective of the state of how the Highlands fits in a statewide picture, but also our ability to bring the coordination of the various state agencies to the table as well. I think our biggest benefit, the biggest benefit of working with the Office of Smart Growth, is our ability to bring Department of Environmental Protection, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Agriculture, to bring them all to the table so that we come at a problem, to come at a situation with a common goal and with a common set of answers, so that you don't get inconsistencies between the various state agencies, that we come at it with a cooperative approach, so that municipalities get answers that they can count on, that we get answers that are not inconsistent from one agency versus another. And most importantly, is that we do good, sound, long-term planning for the communities that are working with us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Other comments from council members? Questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tim. I have a couple.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, John. You okay?
No, I just started tapping you. You had sent an email that we all received too. So go ahead.
Right. So I was going to raise that, and I have a couple other sort of specific issues that arise from that. But just for, I guess part of my concern in the MOU, and I think Ben's right that it does establish processes that will promote, interaction between the council and the state planning commission and between the staffs. And I don't know that it'll be interesting to see, as he said, what the details are in terms of how the science gets used. But I'm a little concerned that the MOU doesn't specifically spell out exactly how the RMP would be used in the planning area for during plan endorsement and during cross acceptance in particular. And then I guess from the beginning, I've had the belief that I think the Highlands Act, you know, establishes the RMP as the regional plan and does it in varying levels of strength, I guess is the one you could put it, in the preservation area, obviously, but in the planning area that other agencies are expected to rely upon it. And while the MOU talks about taking it into consideration and taking recommendations, I'm not sure that rises to the same level as using the RMP as the benchmark. So, and the MOU doesn't really speak to exactly how that process will play out. I guess, you know, part of my concern about that is heightened by the comments that Commissioner Doria made in front of the legislature last week, and which I think were totally unfounded in terms of his perceptions of conflicts between providing affordable housing and protecting the environment, and inappropriate in the sense of raising this idea that we ought to weaken or do away with perhaps environmental protections in the state, you know, in order to allow housing to be built in areas that are protected by those regulations. Now, he was speaking specifically to the DEP, but I can imagine that the same argument can be raised about the Highlands program. So, and I think tease apart his arguments, he'll have us building houses for affordable housing in wetland areas and in stream corridors and certain endangered species habitat, all the places that this effort that the council is undertaking is meant to prevent. And, you know, he is the commissioner of DCA, and the State Planning Commission and OSG live within DCA. And when you put those two together, it raises concerns in my mind. And I don't know that necessarily there are MOU that can address it, but I think it's important to raise. And then the second part, which is a little more specific, which is about the idea of what the expectations are in terms of centers which have been designated under the state planning, either in the past or going forward. And, you know, we had talked about the idea that we would use those designations as a starting point in identifying appropriate places for economic development and growth, but that we were concerned about the comparison or conformance of where those boundaries are, or what the densities were, those types of issues, with the requirements of the RMP. And I don't know that this, again, that the MOU speaks very specifically to that. I just want to make sure that we don't raise expectations that we are adopting a policy here in this MOU that says we are going to accept those boundaries as they exist right now without more review, if it's appropriate, regarding the environmental resources that might occur within those areas. So those are the concerns that I have.
I agree with Tim's concerns.
Well, I suggest the staff, I guess. I read the MOU as being either almost entirely or entirely about process, but so that if or when there are disagreements between the council and OSG or State Planning Commission, there's a process to try to iron out issues early on, but then there's a process for discussing them if there get to be conflicts, but there really isn't a resolution in the resolution for resolving conflicts.
Right.
Yes, John, that is exactly what we were trying to do here, was establish the process by which we would work together, communicate to both the State Planning Commission and the Highlands Council. And when Tom worked on this, he worked on it very much in accordance with what the law provided for, what the Act provided for.
What would we do if we found going forward that the conflict was something that, you know, that we really couldn't abide by if there were a conflict?
Well, again, that the MOU only sets forth the process by which we coordinate. The State Planning Commission and the Office of Smart Growth recognize entirely the jurisdiction of the Highlands Council in the preservation area. So there's no debate on that issue. That's totally
right.
Within the jurisdiction of this council. In the planning area, however, the Act did allow for the fact that municipalities could choose to opt in to the Islands Regional Master Plan or indeed go through plan endorsement. And this MOU sets forth that process by which we share information. It's very clear in that the applicants for plan endorsement will be required to do a consistency statement with the Regional Master Plan, and that the Office of Smart Growth would take recommendations from the Highlands Council into consideration in any endorsements. And that is what we believe is as far as the Act would allow us to go. And that's what. And so then, Mimi, if conflicts arise, they're going to have to be dealt with by both Council and the State Planning Commission. But there's nothing that we can do other than set forth a process for coordination and sharing of information.
Of the towns in the planning area, how many have gone through have gotten plan endorsement?
The plan endorsement is actually a relatively new process. Center designation was done previously without going through endorsement, and part of
right,
it was
they went through a certification.
Yeah, well, they went a center designation, which didn't take into consideration comprehensive planning for the entire municipality. It just looked at those centers and drew those center boundaries, but didn't speak to the preservation or protection of the environs. So this new process, and it's been recently sort of, they've done some plan endorsements in some areas, particularly down in the CAFRA coastal towns. So they've now improved the process and look to do that kind of comprehensive planning. But it's a very different process. But it is, you know, it's consistency with the state plan, whereas the conformance process is conforming to the Highlands Regional Master Plan in its entirety.
And let me just add a few things to that. First of all, we did change our plan endorsement process for many of those very same reasons. The idea of looking at centers as just being existing places, I think, was erroneous. You had to look at them in the context of how they were delineated, number one, whether or not there were environmental features within those centers that were being appropriately protected, number two. Number three, whether or not development that otherwise would have taken place in the environs was being able to be captured within the centers. I think those are all three very important points that were being missed, and a very important point was to try to capture all those issues in the new plan endorsement process. We do not ignore environmental features. No town can get endorsement without putting appropriate environmental protections in place. Part of determining what the appropriate environmental protections within those communities includes taking into account, in the instance of Highlands communities, taking into account the science of the and the information that the Highlands Regional Master Plan contains. So, as I said before, there is no way to escape the facts that have been established in going through the planning process. That's number one. Number two, to go to Tim's first concern, although the Office of Smart Growth may be housed within the Department of Community Affairs, I am appointed by the governor, Tim. I answer to the governor and to the State Planning Commission. I do not answer directly to the commission on issues of policy. We will not ignore information, as long as I am the executive director of the Office of Smart Growth, that's appropriate for consideration in planning Highlands communities. And I've got to say that was not, I don't feel that was an appropriate comment on your behalf. I'll leave it at that for now.
Well, Tim, I don't think anyone at this point was suggesting amendments to the resolution, right? Correct?
Right.
Okay. Are there comments from council members? Are there comments from members of the public on the resolution?
Yes, we have several from the public present.
Okay, why don't you conduct them, Jack, please?
Julia Summers? Jersey Highlands Council?
No, not yet. No. Probably never.
No, it's called Coalition, sorry.
Jersey Highlands Coalition.
A non-functioning body that has right. No power.
Julia Summers, Executive Director at New Jersey Highlands Coalition. In reading the MOU, there was only one thing that struck us as needing very slight clarification, and to go to what Eileen said in when she was describing the process that was approved by the State Planning Commission, clarification was one of the things. And if you go to page 7 of your draft resolution,
draft memorandum, you mean?
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, yeah. The draft memorandum, which the resolution would approve. 19 and 20 talk to changes in centers. And I think that the process that you are discussing here really includes an alteration. If the town were to come in, not just to talk about extensions, but to talk about possible modifications. So I would like to propose the addition of two words, and it would be in the same place in both 19 and 20. And that would be, should a petitioner seek to extend, and then you would add the two words, or modify, center designation or designate, etc. So the only two words I would request the council consider amending the MOU to include would be or modify, added to both 19 and 20, so it would go both ways.
I believe that falls within my discretion to modify the MOU as approved.
Ben, can you say that again?
I believe that falls within my discretion to modify the MOU as approved, John. So, that's a very reasonable proposal, and I will agree to add that on my behalf.
John, this is Tracy. We're in the middle of the public comment, but whenever it's appropriate, I would make it a motion for an amendment to add those two words to 19 and 20.
Let's go through the rest of public comments and then we'll come back to that. So, thank you
very much.
Okay, thank you. So, other public comment tours?
Yes, we have others. Ed, Tony?
Tony Soriano, Morris County, just real quick. If there are any changes that are made between the directors on the Memorandum of Understanding, we hope that there will be public notification and that we've notified them, because even two words can make a difference. Second, in terms, this goes to Mr. Spinelli, as well as all, I guess. Plan endorsement's not a methodology of escaping the science of the Regional Master Plan. Absolutely. I just would like to have everyone understand there is a distinction between science and policy, and we'll be looking at that as we go forward.
That is the big distinction.
That is a big distinction, and we'll be discussing the definition of those words, I'm sure. And finally, unless I missed it, the Highlands Act calls for the planning area compliance to be voluntary. I'd like to keep that in mind as well as we move forward in looking at this joint review between either the state or the Highlands Council.
And Tony, I think it's important, that was one of our main concerns as we worked our way through this process, was to make sure that we created that that distinction, that there was a voluntary nature to conformance versus plan endorsement. I think that one of the big fears that was out there was that somehow going to a related set of rules, the COA rules, that required plan endorsement as part of COA certification, was formally seen as a backdoor way of requiring compliance with the Highlands Plan. That connection was severed at the end of the COA rules by the new COA rules that have been proposed. So there will be no mandatory plan endorsement because of COA. So no town that finds itself needing to get substantive certification under COA will find itself required to conform with the Highlands Master Plan or to go through plan endorsement. So I think that there's been an important disconnect, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I think there's been that mandatory requirement is being severed will prevent some of the fears of having some sort of mandatory compliance.
Well, that's interesting to hear. Just again, with regard to how this moves forward, there's been discussions. This is a process document so far, and I think that's totally appropriate. Putting in some hard metrics on how it is to be interpreted at this time, I'm glad that seems to be off the table, at least for the moment, because there are going to be a lot of new questions raised when you try to mesh how you're to review this to harmonize with the plan without actually enforcing the plan in a way that makes what is supposed to be voluntary involuntary. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Ned?
Ned Ward from Harding Township regarding the compliance, and again, we are primarily in the planning area, but it is possible, however, that the agencies other than the Highlands Council may in the future require compliance with the RMP and implementing the regulations as a condition of agency approval. This has already occurred between State Planning Commission and COA, where each agency is required requiring approval of the other as a condition of their approvals.
Is that correct?
That's what I just told Tony. That was the
form. Excuse me, Ben. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to try to keep the question and answer period the way we do, which is and not have the question and answer, but to make this a public comment period. So
I was just asking the question. I was looking for verification. I'll take that back.
So I'd like to have clarification.
I'll see that you get an answer then.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Susan
Buck. No other public comments on the resolution?
One more, John. Susan Buck.
Okay. Sorry?
Hi, Susan Buck, Oxford. I think for this to be a procedural thing is fine, but there is a lot of language in here that goes beyond that. And it looks like it does indeed undermine the intent of the Highlands Act. If I combine what's in here with comments that Ben Spinelli made, in order for a town to get endorsement without appropriate environmental protection, well, they can't get endorsement without appropriate environmental protection. So as long as this resolution is saying that the Office of Smart Growth and so forth has to consider recommendations from the Highlands Council, it is indeed requiring that they conform to the Regional Master Plan, which is in conflict with what the Highlands Act said. It's supposed to be optional. So any language that talks about another state agency having to consider recommendations from the Highlands Council, combining that with environmental protections, it's not optional. It becomes mandatory. So I'm concerned about the language.
One more, John.
David Shope. I was pleased to hear that part of the Happy Family is going to be the Department of Agriculture, because this allows an avenue for the problem of agricultural viability to be addressed. It would seem to me this should be part and parcel with any plan that deems land sole purpose essentially to be that of agriculture. That being the case, we should be guaranteed a return on equity. I just read where the people investing the state's pension money earned 17% last year. I would be happy with that. I would also be a little less happy with the guaranteed return on equity that is assured any regulated public utility, which we are rapidly becoming, because our land is essentially a public utility for the collection of water for the use primarily by others. New Jersey American Water recently was granted about an 8% return on equity as a regulated public utility. I think this gives you goals to work towards. I look forward to you achieving them.
Sorry to prolong the agony. Dave Pfeiffer with the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'm very happy to see the MOU finally make it this far. I hope that you will approve the MOU tonight. But I would offer a plea. We're looking at a great deal of confusion at the municipal level on the subject of endorsement versus conformance, and that as you produce guidance documents for conformance to clearly explain what the different processes are and how they interrelate. Beyond that, hopefully we'll see some rules from COA in the early part of conformance, and I would like to see that the relationship to COA be clearly explained as well. This is causing a lot of consternation out there in the field right now.
So please give it some serious thought and write clear English with subjects and verbs. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Any members of the public on the phone? Wish to comment?
Okay. Well, Tracy, you want to make a amendment, proposed amendment?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to amend number 19 and 20 of the MOU to include the word or two words or modify after extend in both paragraphs. I think this makes sense because then any change, not just an extension, the modification of the boundaries, the shrinking, any change would be covered by these paragraphs. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Is there a second for the amendment?
I'll second it.
Bill Cogger.
Okay, is there any objection to the amendment? Jack, I think you made the motion. Would you accept the amendment to the motion?
No, I'd like to suggest an alternative. Okay. I don't think we need to have change or what was the language?
It would be extend or modify.
I don't think we need both words. If we modify, an extension is a modification. I think
no, but the word we have now is extend in the resolution.
Right. I'd like to remove extend and put in modify.
Oh.
Just one moment. Except, no, I think that, Jack, I think the extend part goes, is time. It's time. Not boundary. It's time.
The extension of the centers, because they expire, and this is this allows the extension of those centers.
Well, but they're used together. Period. In this context, they seem to be the same physical plane.
I can see where the confusion comes from.
I think extend or modify would be clear in terms of how the agency's been working on it. The other alternative would be reestablish, which is what the State Planning Commission would be, reestablish or modify.
Reestablish or modify? Mm-hmm. May we have that change as an alternative?
What was your alternative?
To reestablish or modify.
As the person who made the motion, I think that's fine. Reestablish, whatever word is.
Reestablish or modify.
Right.
Okay.
So you'll amend your motion to change the language.
She'll amend her amendment, but you could amend the original motion, and then we could, Jack. So
yes.
Jack made the motion,
Jack
and
said
Janice
yes.
Seconded it, right? As I recall. So if the two of you, do you both agree to this change in language?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we can just incorporate the amendment into the resolution. So the resolution as it stands is to reestablish or modify center designation. Right?
Thank you.
Okay, in both 19 and 20. Other amendments or comments on the resolution? Okay, ready to vote? Kurt?
Yes.
Tracy?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tim?
Well, first of all, I want to just apologize to Ben for any offense I remarks gave him personally. I have nothing but the utmost respect for him, but I'm going to vote no on the NLA.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Janice?
Yes.
Mimi?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, the resolution passes. So the only other resolution we have before we get to any other member comments and public comment is our meeting schedule, proposed meeting schedule for 2008. We can, of course, change this as the year goes on, but is there a motion to introduce this resolution?
I'll move the schedule.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay,
Mr. Chair, can
any discussion?
John, can I just point out that we did change, because I'm not quite sure which of the resolutions council members are looking at. The original resolution that I sent out had February the 21st, but we changed that because of a conflict to February 28th. That is the only change. I just want to make sure we're all looking at the same resolution.
So it starts January 17th, and then February 28th, and then March 6th, and goes on from there.
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay. Any comments? Okay. For any comments from the public?
I see none.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. That brings us to public comments. So we'll call back Mr. Work, I guess.
Any additional public comments from anyone present? Ned, you want to speak?
Please.
Sure. Mr. Ward is coming back.
Again, from Harding, some of the questions that I do have a number of questions, and I'll give them one by one, or you can take them and respond.
Well, we're not going to answer them now, sir. We'll hear any comments you want to make, and we'll get back to you, or staff will talk to you, and we can answer questions at that point.
Okay, so no questions to be answered.
You can raise them. It's not a give and take
session.
Only
questions will be answered, just not in this session.
Okay. Under the Highlands thing, they can be expected to include stringent density in agricultural resources. Could anyone quantify that? I do understand the dictionary reading, but what does it mean in the amount of acreage, zoning, et cetera? Just as a matter of comment, I've been around for a little bit of time, and I've heard smart growth forever, but no one has ever sat me down and said, this is how it works. Again, I'd like to have some specificity in a smart growth scenario. I know it's all infrastructure and transportation and a mix of all sorts of zoning, but no one has ever sat down and said, this is the model. I'd love to see it. Okay, in Harding Township specifically, there are three new subzones. One is a new lake community subzone, and I find it interesting that we in Harding have a lake community called Mount Kemba Lake, and it is not on the map. So I guess it doesn't exist. But in fact, it does. Let's see where I go here. In the other zone, well, protection for one, land acquisition is a high priority. I think this is admirable. Where does the money come from? And that will be the end of my questions for tonight.
Thank you. Other people wishing to comment?
Susan Buck.
Take my whole 3 minutes today, but I still reading the regional master plan, and I'm kind of confused, especially when I put it in conjunction with, I know we didn't talk about the one project down in Holland Township, but I was using that as an example to try and figure out, if I read the plan and I look at what's going on there and the points that are being raised about environmental constraints compared to what I see in the plan, and I can't make any sense of it. This version seems to be worse than the last time around. If I look at the maps about where that project is, I don't see any of the constraints that are listed in the concerns for that water measurement plan change. It seems to be like basically the low resource area. If anything, there's a little bit of agricultural resources in there, but mostly it just says plain old planning area, no big deal. But in there, I read all, in their comments, I read all kinds of endangered species, certain kind of forests, and all of this kind of stuff. I don't see how we as landowners or township officials are going to be able to make heads or tails of the plan if there's not enough specific information on there. Maybe that exists in overlay zones that are being handed out, maps to everybody else, but I can't see it in the plan. The things that are in the plan don't really make a lot of sense. There's not a lot of detail. There's verbiage being talked about where areas are constrained, but I can't find any maps that show where they are, where these special areas are, or where all these species are. It just doesn't seem to exist in there. So bringing that up for first of many comments on the regional master plan.
Thank you. Are there other comments? The public comments?
David Cho.
David Cho, this is concerning Mr. Meck's letter to you, Mr. Weingart, and your response.
Mm-hmm.
I read Mr. Meck's letter and I read your response. I read the case that you cited, as did an attorney. The attorney feels that the case that you cited is not on point. I think Mr. Meck raises valid issues. I think your response is self-serving. I believe this matter is ripe for third-party resolution, and I hope that's the direction it goes. I notice in the case that you cited, the judge relied on tapes as part of his decision that he made. I trust the tapes of Mr. Seaman's presentation to you are in good order and available. Thank you.
Anyone else present to now want to speak? No one here. Anyone on the telephone? Any members of the public on the telephone? I hear no one, John.
No one? Okay. Well, then I guess we're ready for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? Somebody must second.
I'll second.
Okay.
I'm having such a good time here.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year to everybody.
Hey, happy holidays.
Okay. Take care. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for coming down. Thank you, Greg. Nice to see you. Be very careful going back.
Yeah, it's supposed to get pretty full.
I'd love to warm up. That was my Christmas
gift. Did you do that?
Last year.
That's excellent.
As we get older, you know, there are certain gifts we want. You know, used to be a good bottle of scotch. Now I want my garden to start.
I changed my gum set so that now it's all
good. Ages. You're right. It's a function of age.
I don't know. Hey, I'm Jack.
Tony, thanks.
Why can't you yourself?
That's a public line. It's open for the public to call in.
That's what was going on.
I don't remember what it was.